streaming into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
I'm all by myself, so it's really awkward, but you guys, we are here doing the after show for your favorite show, Outlander. This is episode 8, the mid-season finale, both sides now, and for this special occasion, we have all decided to dress up. So I would like to introduce my co-host for this evening, Mr. Ryan Hooks. Please come out here, Ryan. We promised you ladies that he would do it. And he, no. And he has done it. He has the kilt. And it looks very nice on you. It's like, almost like you're Scottish.
Very dapper. Thank you.
Okay,
and our... Everybody, Ryan Hooks here, coming to you live in the studio.
Here he is. And our other co-host for tonight is Miss Roya Tahir.
What up? Soldier lady.
Yes.
Give us a little salute.
Nurse Roya. I like it.
With my Converse.
Safe for the Converse. Looking good. That's official. You were 1945. Those are popular then. I would like to see Keaton.
Can I model now?
Keaton, go model for us.
Okay.
Looking lovely in the Highland attire. Do a little spin. Get the twirl. Sing me a song. Blah, I don't remember the words. My hometowns and trees and rain and outdoor things.
Oh, I left my phone over there.
You're done.
Well,
welcome.
Welcome. And we really miss our co-host Kendra. She is out sick tonight, but she sends her love.
Yes.
And we send our love to her.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, where'd you guys get your awesome outfits?
Ryan, you go first.
Well, I have a friend, Richard, who is from Glasgow. And I said, hey, Richard, you're from Glasgow. You probably have a kilt, don't you? And he said, you know what? I have two. And I was like, great, can I borrow one? So he let me borrow the kilt.
That's awesome, right?
Well, I didn't want to dress like you because you would make it amazing. No, you look amazing in it. And I was like, you know what? I want to look like Claire from 1943, nurse, you know, combat nurse. So this was the closest I got. Amazon, thank you for the free shipping. Got overnight.
Free shipping.
That's amazing. And I feel very lucky that Etoile Costume and Party Center actually let me borrow this.
Where are they located?
They're actually located in... Tarzana. That's where they're located. But they have a really awesome October special going on right now. Usually they do 3-day rentals, but for the month of October, you can rent it any day and have it your costume for the entire month of October.
What?
For the same price as a 3-day rental normally.
So basically, you can get your outfit before everyone else gets their outfit.
Yes, you can, and have it all of October. So you can wear it to multiple parties if you want, which is really, really awesome. So etoilela.com. You guys go to it. They were so nice to me. I had so much fun playing dress up in so many different costumes today. That is Etoile. Check them out online, on social media. But they're so sweet, and they do have such a cool collection. And thank you so much for my Highlander attire tonight.
Yes.
Can we give some other shout-outs, though, too?
Yes.
Because this is the last time we really get to do this.
Until April!
I have 4th. A countdown timer, actually, on right now. And you guys, sadly, you will have to wait 26 weeks, 187 days, 4,490 hours, 269,438 minutes, and I'm not even going to give you the seconds, until the next episode.
Wait, that's like collectively? Or like each one is like 26 weeks or this many hours or this?
I think that's...
That felt like an excessive amount of days in addition to the amount of weeks.
It's 26
Still
weeks,
forever.
5 days, 2 hours, and 38 minutes.
Okay.
Still
or...
Forever.
The days you okay,
yes.
Got it.
So, you can break it down and all that.
But gotcha. Okay. We're on the same page.
I'm already going through withdrawals and I don't want to think about it because we still have a whole
We haven't even finished the show yet. You have to at least get through this hour.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so I do have to get through this hour without crying. Okay. But again, more shout outs, you guys. Okay. Moo Ali Jasmine. Thank you so much. I mean, I'm just going to go. Even if I've said your name, I'm going to say it again. Lee Victoria, you've been so awesome this season, talking all the time. Iklabon 72, Soren Crane, M. Abdullah, Roy Tahir, Ryan Hooks.
Those guys are awesome. We love you, Ryan Hooks and Roy Tahir.
Anna Lanave, Jill R. Ear One. Nay five, E-R-1-N-E-Y-5. I'm so sorry if I butchered
it. It's funny to watch, just to watch you.
Real Wispa. Oh, I like that name. That one's really cool. I think I already said Anna Lanave, but I'm saying it again. Nagarui doing them. I'm so sorry if I'm butchering.
It's spelled sort of like escape, right?
Yeah, escape. yeah. Sue O'Kane. Mivette. I'm so sorry again. La 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 Lauren 33, what up? I just really like saying your name.
What up, K3M? Thanks for tweeting me.
Jane 1, Indigo Lily. Baron of Hell, you're back again, and we love it.
Damn, Hairnate. Thanks for tweeting me.
Soren
watching the
Crane.
Show right now.
Yay, keep watching. Who else? Indigo Lily, aww. We did that. Lee Victoria. Rihanna, Ginger Bear, Karen McLeod, Jennifer Bartiao. Oh gosh, I'm so sorry. Kislena Cough 2009,
thank
Super
you,
October 71.
All right, we got a show to do. Yeah.
So many people did get, like wrote to us.
Thank you, everyone.
And Jean Claude.
It has been an overwhelming response to our show. Thank you. We appreciate you. Continue to tweet at us. Follow us on Twitter. Tell your friends. Retweet us. The picture of my kill got like 50 retweets, like just of the kill. I can't even wait to see what happens when we actually put our picture up in our outfits. And also, don't forget
Twitter
to go.
Twitter might shut down.
I am coming for you.
If you hashtag Ryan's baby's name, I mean, Twitter will just explode.
Elise Victoria, real men wear kilts. Yes, thank you everyone for all the love and support for our show. We appreciate you guys so much. Don't forget to go to our iTunes. It's not too late to rate our show and give us 5 stars, making us more searchable, making us more prevalent on the internet. Because without you, we would be nothing.
And share us with your friends. I know a couple of you guys said that you've been trying to tell your friends about AfterBuzz and about our after show, and we really, really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And so anybody you end up getting into Outlander, which should be all of your friends during this break, tell them to watch our after show, and they can get
that's how you're
going to
get through the next 26 weeks.
How Damn. Else would you do it?
Let's watch our show again. And tweet me as you're watching it.
We'll watch it again.
We'll watch it with you.
Hey, my mom still has them all saved, so I can go over there and watch.
Oh, we love your mom. We love your mom.
Yeah, we're all going to Roya's house to watch Outlander.
Will she make us delicious food?
Yes, a cookie.
Roya's mom is a huge, huge Outlander fan. She's like a super fan.
She threatened me if I didn't get on this after show, something bad was going to happen.
She's kicking you out.
Yeah.
Shout out to Roya's mom. So let's jump into the episode. We've been dilly-dallying enough.
Way too long.
I know, but I don't want this to end. So this episode started in present day. It actually, for the first time, we saw it wasn't from Claire's perspective. It wasn't from Jamie telling Claire a story about his perspective. It had nothing to do with anything Claire knew. It was all Frank. Yes. Frank. And it's Frank actually at the Inverness police.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you guys feel during that whole scene and kind of seeing so much of what's happening on the other side?
I feel like Frank was very comfortable there. So we know that he's been there many, many, many times waiting for Claire to show up or any kind of news. The way he was just laid, putting his arm out. Waiting.
I like that the detective came over and he's like, you could just tell he was annoyed that Frank was there again. He's like, it's going to be one of those days. Let me get some whiskey to start off. He just pours himself a cup right in his teacup. Get to business.
I mean, I have to give Frank so much credit, though. I did forget for a short amount of time that he was even related to Black Jack Randall, just because of it was just crushing to me, seeing like just how desperate he is to find Claire, and he's not accepting no for an answer. And I think that is such a sign of love And, you know, he doesn't want to give up. He doesn't believe what they're telling him. He's like, you don't know Claire. You, like, she's not going to run off with another man. Mm-hmm. And I love that we see Jamie's basically, like, mugshot sketch
up
on the wall, which is so kind of crazy to see both worlds almost collide, but not really.
And this is also where we find out the exact time frame that Claire has been missing.
6 weeks.
Except for I can question and be like, is this the exact moment of where Claire is? Or do you think it's one of those mind-blowing moments where this was a flashback to when Frank went and it was only 7 weeks? And am I getting too out of order?
No. I agree with you. It's you know, the way that time works in this world through the show, we haven't really figured it out. And I'm so happy that we are seeing this side of Frank's because, you know, who knows? Like, in my mind, it could have been that, you know, the time where Claire left has kind of stopped because now she's back in time.
I thought that, too. That could have, mm-hmm. like, nothing could have happened in the future. That it could have just
7 weeks
paused.
Though.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. It is interesting that it has affected Frank in the way it has. I like that we got to see so many of these characters that we met in the first couple episodes in, before Claire left, the 1940s and also in her earlier flashbacks when she had more memories of what was going on. And, I like to see their interactions and, see kind of more of their personality come out, that we get in the book in early chapters, mm-hmm. but
not so much on
we
the show.
Didn't get it on the show. So and we got little Roger, who is a very important character. Little
Roger. I was wondering about that because they kept showing him, and I'm like, why do they keep showing him?
I want another biscuit, Mother.
Yeah, I don't care. You want another biscuit? Get out of here.
That's, eating my
yeah.
biscuits.
Roger is important, and I would highly suggest we have so much time. You should read the books while we wait.
In the next 24 weeks, or
yeah.
How many? 24 weeks?
I can read a page a day, you'll get there.
That's daunting.
So we see Frank. He is absolutely distraught. He leaves the police station being like, you know what? Like, you guys are no help anymore. He's staying still. I believe it was at the same place.
Yeah, that was the same mm-hmm. place. Because he was helping him research.
Yeah, but he wasn't
the
like...
The father that he was with.
They weren't staying the night there. They were staying in an inn. Mm-hmm. So he must have moved in there. And with Father...
I didn't write down his name. I know, I failed you on this.
Wah, wah.
Roya!
I'm sorry.
I didn't look
so
it up.
So angry at you.
We failed.
Whoa.
I was more
Come
folks.
On, guys.
I wanted
this
to get back to Jamie
show.
And Claire.
I got Mrs.
We're
Graham.
We're not getting to Jamie and Claire. Yes, you did get Mrs. Graham.
Yeah, I did that, too.
Yeah, well done.
I have that down. Mrs. Graham tells
We're
Frank.
We're waiting on Jamie and Claire. We got to go through Frank's story.
I know.
So we see Frank, and maybe somebody could tweet at us right now. Tweet at Ryan. Tell us what the father's name is, the priest's name.
You can just look it up. You keep talking.
I will keep talking.
You always do. But you have a lovely voice.
Thank you. We see Frank talking to the priest and, you know, trying to figure out, you know, where is Claire? He doesn't want to give up. And the priest kind of just is like, you know what, Frank? Maybe it's time to put it to bed. Maybe she did leave, or maybe she fell in the river. He had this great theory that she could have gotten swept away by the river and is in this forest, like, 20 miles away. And
I didn't like the father's perspective. It was very, like, demeaning against women. Like, she's stupid. She fell in a river. She can't swim.
I like the fact that he was assuming that she would live in a cave off fish and frogs for 7 weeks because she didn't know where to go to find help. Really?
Yes.
Like, you just fought through the war. Like, you're going to be fine.
I really liked how the priest's theory was that she fell in
Reverend
the
Wakefield.
Reverend Wakefield.
I wanted to say it together. I jumped on that.
And I really liked that his theory was her falling in the river and getting swept away because I can talk about this and we will talk about more book comparisons later. But in the book, that is actually how she gets into Randall's hands again is by falling into a river and getting swept away. So it was funny that they did kind of include that in some way.
Thanks, Q3M. We found it on IMDb before then, but good
You're
job.
Awesome.
Oh, there's one more. Did you see the other tweet?
I haven't got that far yet.
God.
I'm talking about the show, not tweeting.
Stop looking at your phones. So, you know, Frank, he doesn't want to give up. And then we see him, he goes to the bar. And this is when, as you see Frank drink, is when you start seeing more Blackjack Riddle. Put your phone
No,
down,
I'm
Ryan.
Connie Sandlin. Thank you. Reverend Reginald Wakefield. Not a priest. He's a Presbyterian minister. Boom.
Thank
drop.
You.
And phone drop. Slowly, because I'm going to break it.
We can be done with the show. I see as Frank kind of gets deeper into the drinking, you see where Black Jack is kind of hidden inside his soul. And he gets these little twitches that Black Jack has all the time. What did you guys think of that scene when he's in the bar and this woman, Sally, comes up to him?
Do you want to go first?
I think Sally's a demon. I mean, I feel like it was a little sketchy. The aspect of, like, why would this woman come to you and be like, I know where he is? And, like, through that time I was watching it, and my mind was racing with all the possibilities of, like, what it could be. Like, was she going to take him to a gravesite, or was it going to be, like, the great-great-grandchild of Jamie and Claire, or, like, some other craziness? But it was weird that they didn't go to the police.
I knew that it was a fake, that she was just trying to get the money. She was going to rob him. I knew right off the bat when he was drinking, the way she sat down, she's like, but don't bring anyone. Bring the reward money. I'm like, this is... She's going to rob you, Frank. He's smart.
I honestly, even when I saw the previews last week, I was like, oh my gosh. Because already showing flashbacks of Frank, with Frank, I was like, okay, they're really deviating from the book. Mm-hmm. So anything could really be going on in Frank's time right now. And I was like, oh my gosh, maybe she does. Maybe she's going to tell him about the stones. Or I thought again what you said, that she's maybe some type of great grandchild relative and maybe knows, maybe is a Fraser or something along those lines.
But that would ruin history. That would ruin the whole time travel.
Well,
rule.
We don't have any consistent...
There's no rules,
yeah, there's
in
no rules
Outlander
in
yet.
Outlander time, yet.
I'm air quoting, so there's rules.
This isn't
Listen,
Harry Potter.
Everything you know in Back to the Future is out the window.
Absolutely. Ryan, what were you going to say? I'm so sorry I interrupted you.
Fraser.
I said Fraser. Anyway, so Frank off. Does get sucked in to going to meet this woman, Sally. And, of course, it's pouring down rain. Even more dramatic.
The Scottish Highlands is always raining. I love that she asked him. She's like, I thought you were going to be here sooner. And after she, like, told him several times to be there at a quarter till. And she's like, I just thought you'd show up early.
But see, that even to me seemed very sketchy and that he should be really aware. Obviously, he was because he had something in his pocket to defend himself. But still, she was scared for herself. She was trying to scam him. She's not very good at scamming.
I don't know. I thought the comment about her being like, you know, where I thought you'd have been here earlier, I thought that made it feel even more authentic. And like, I trusted her even more. I was like, oh, look, she's making jokes. Like,
don't go anywhere alone if someone says come alone, okay?
Well, okay. Thanks,
Frank. Hey, Roya, let's go out back later alone.
So, of course, Frank does get mugged. Sally has two friends with her who try to steal the ransom money.
Frank doesn't get mugged.
No, Frank.
Frank lays the law
Frank
down.
Frank kicks some ass.
Blackjack, Jack, anyone? Yeah, Blackjack right. came
oh my,
out.
And it was like almost like he, like, it was, it scared me. Yeah. It really, it was like the same faces that Blackjack made when he was whipping,
Jamie
was the face that I was seeing on Frank.
As he was kicking that guy?
Yeah, when he was just going at him.
At him on the kidney.
Yeah, and he wouldn't stop. She's like, please stop, you're going to kill him.
You're going to kill him,
nope.
You're going to kill him.
Nope.
No, he like got sucked
in. Gets her by the throat.
Yeah, it's. I mean, again, I've used this this thing before, but it's like when the shark's eyes in Finding Nemo just go black when he smells blood,
oh.
And he loses his mind and he just gets sucked into the evil that we then later hear the minister, the Presbyterian minister,
Reginald Wakefield.
Reginald Wakefield, talk to Frank because Frank obviously this is his friend. He feels very scared that he let that kind of evil in. And, or I wouldn't say let it in, let it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, the minister is very much like, you know what? Like, the Nazis just took a bigger sip of that cup and you just need to, you're not a Nazi and you're not a bad human being, but anybody could have a sip of that and you just need to be careful and get out of whatever's causing you to want to drink from this cup. Leave here, Frank. If this place is not good for you, you need to go. It's time to leave. And I think that's good advice from a friend.
Yeah, go like, back to what you know.
Oxford. Mm-hmm.
Go back to the studying. Go back
Move
to school.
On.
Yeah, something familiar that will help you forget about other things.
Absolutely, Roy. What did you feel about that suggestion?
It was okay, but the fact that he brushed off Mrs. Graham made me mad.
Yes,
but did he? Because he ends
did.
Up there.
He did the same thing he was doing. He was talking about Claire and how she's dumb and fell down in a river and ate lizard legs. Like he was just dismissing her, and I didn't like that.
Well,
let the woman speak.
I know, but I think he's, you know, he finally convinces Frank to go. Frank leaves. There's that scene of Frank opening up Claire's suitcase, which, and looking at the picture on their wedding day, which was just crushing.
That was a great scene, yeah. I like that, like, well, because it shows how everyone keeps saying, oh, she left, she's having an affair, she's doing this, she's doing that. If she left, she probably would have taken some stuff. So why is this full suitcase that's packed sitting here exactly as she left it 7 weeks ago, just hanging out with a picture of, you know, her and Frank?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Frank knows deep down. I mean, those two were in love. We didn't get to see their type of love. It's not the same type of love that her and Jamie have, but it was deep love. And he knows in his heart and in his soul that she would not leave him like that, like unless it was against her will. So I do appreciate kind of Frank kind of pausing on that thought and on that moment with the suitcase, but then he closes it and he's like, I do need to go back. I need to get out of here for now.
Do you think he took the suitcase with him?
He didn't. He left it on the bed when they showed him leaving the room.
But it doesn't mean he didn't go back and get it.
No. I think they deliberately showed that he was leaving it there.
Okay. Like, that symbolizes Claire.
That's why I'm asking.
I think it symbolizes that he knows that she'd come back there. He's leaving it there for her and hopes that she would come back.
So you think it's a hopeful thing?
That's what I think. It's a hopeful thing that he left it there for her.
See, I took it as the other way, that he's letting her go.
No. No, yeah. I think it's him being like, because we see that scene of him leaving that room after the scene where Mrs. Graham tells him, you know, there's these stories, there's these songs about the rocks of Craig na Dún. I believe Claire went up there, and I believe she traveled through time, and she didn't come back down.
But here's where I'm going to challenge your...
Challenge me!
If that's the case, if it was for hope, then why wouldn't he go to Craig na Dún first? Instead of driving past and be like, whoa, wait, reverse, go.
Because he's a man of logic and science, and I don't think it's that he doesn't believe. I just think he doesn't want to believe that that's not
it's
how
crazy
Frank thinks.
And
it's just it's not that it's crazy talk, because you know he's a historian, and historians use myths and legends and songs and folklore. They use that in their studies, but they do keep it separated. So I think, to him, because he's such a learned man, and I just think he can't comprehend that just because of the way he thinks. So that's why he passes it. But I think deep down he does hold that hope for Claire. I mean, he wouldn't have stopped and turned around when he passed it if he didn't have that hope.
I'm glad he got his car back.
Yes, I am too.
Just going to throw out some positive in this whole scene.
Very nice. Can I just throw out some negative real fast?
Please.
I don't know what your skirt's made of, but mine's wool, and my bum is itching. Like, going all
back
authentic over here.
Do you have a thong on?
Back to reality. This wool is rough sitting down on these chairs.
Maybe nothing on? I don't know how he's wearing that coat.
Maybe if you're on a saddle, it'll be okay.
Listen, I posted a picture on Twitter before the show that had a quote on it, and it said... If I'm wearing something under my kilt, I'm not wearing a kilt, I'm wearing a dress. That's all I'm saying. Thank you.
Oh, there we
There's
go.
There's the applause.
Can I move?
The only way to know what I'm really wearing under my kilt is to look. That's the true way. You can ask the Scottishman himself.
So what did you guys think about that?
Moving on from H&M.
I'm just going to ignore that. That kind of dramatic, epic scene, which I thought that's what I thought was going to be the cliffhanger. I thought the cliffhanger was going to be
at the stones.
Yeah, at the stones, Claire on one side, Frank on the other, and blackout.
Someone called that on YouTube with a prediction. Someone wrote a comment about saying that they think it's going to be a cliffhanger right there. She's going to get to the stones, and that's when
she said it last week too.
I said that
on YouTube too.
Well,
thanks to everyone who thought that.
Sick.
I loved that scene though. The whole them like leading up to the stones and the way that was filmed and like from either side, but at the same time it was like
and you could hear
parallel.
Her voice.
So you can obviously communicate. I think that was a very important thing that they showed us, is that communication can happen through the stones.
I just don't get why Frank didn't touch the stone.
But Mrs. Graham even said, she's like, only some people and only on some days or nights can they go through the stones.
That's fair.
Right, because it was the night after the ritual that they went there, mm-hmm. and that she traveled through. So it was the actual holiday.
Would you guys have been happy if that was the cliffhanger?
No.
No, I'm glad.
Because there's so much more in this first book. I don't know how they're going to squeeze the rest of this first book into 8 more episodes when it comes back, because I feel like I wanted so much more in these mm-hmm. first 8 episodes. But I still love it, so I'm not going to be mad.
I loved how Claire's, was it a blanket that she had before? She went
her shawl.
Her shawl was still there on the ground.
Ugh. That brought you back to like, wow, she really has been here. She really has forgotten.
And even the filming differences between the two to show the comparison. One was really bright and
the green.
Yeah.
And all the Frank scenes were dull and gray and dreary and just very, very much reflected his feelings, which, you know.
No,
I like that, yeah.
In the first episode, remind me, it was very bright and colorful when they're together and
yes,
they're happy,
right? So bright, okay. So colorful, so vivid. Everything that was.
Roy, have you been coming to the show the last 7 weeks?
Where am I?
Here at AfterBuzz TV, Outlander Podcast, episode 8, Both Sides Now. Uh-huh. You're here with Ryan Hooks and Keaton Markey. Because I recall the conversation that we've had before about...
Here, I'll bring you back.
The memory's fading.
Let's talk about Claire and Jamie. Are you back with us? Claire and
so
Jamie,
ready.
Can you breathe now?
Yes.
Okay, you know where we are? Okay.
Yes. I'm ready. Let's do it.
So, I mean, we say goodbye to Frank. He hears Claire's voice, or he thinks he hears Claire's voice, and he decides
to
leave
to me, it was,
crying.
It was unclear with that, because... You distinctly heard Frank yelling and Claire hearing
her
it
hears Frank's
and
voice.
Replies to it. So she clearly hears it. But every time she was yelling, I could hear crows. And it was almost like he heard the crows and not her voice.
Mm. So it's like the animals can hear the communication through the stones, but only certain people can hear the
Yeah, it was weird. Like I don't know if I felt like he actually heard her or everything around him was reacting to hearing her but not him.
What do you guys think? Like, do you think Frank heard Claire? Or do you think that only Claire heard Frank? This would be a fun thing to
do. Because I feel like if he would have heard her, there would have been a bigger reaction from him. Because his reaction was to turn around because of the noises he heard around him.
Yeah.
But Claire distinctly yells back to him after he yells, Frank, wait, I'm coming.
I give you that.
That's
true. That's good.
It's
going to
be simple
right?
editing that made it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Timing out the sounds right and the spin on him made me think that he didn't hear her, but she heard him very well.
Can we talk about my favorite Scotsman now?
Is it Hugh Monroe?
No.
Oh.
We haven't seen him yet.
Yeah, leave him alone.
I mean, he's kind of cool.
Mr. Jamie and his beautiful wife, Claire.
Okay.
It's got really awkward.
That was awkward.
Yeah.
I think Dougal was there, though.
Can we talk about the newlyweds? Jeez.
Let's talk about the newlyweds. So, the first scene that we see them together, they're talking, they're kind of hanging out at a picnic, and Jamie's talking to Claire about, you know, is this what it always feels like when a man's with a woman? Because obviously Jamie's only ever been with Claire, which was so sweet.
That was a cute moment. Like, is this what it's like all the time?
And you see Claire pause. Like, I think she really thinks about it. Because obviously she's obviously been with more men than just Frank and Jamie. People might want to yell at me for that, but she has a lot more experience, and I think...
Well, she is a freak.
super freak, she's super freak, eh? I'm sorry. I love that you see her think about it, and I think in her head she truly believes that she's never been with somebody. It, like, even her with Frank was not like her and Jamie. There's a huge distinction, and it's something that she's never felt with somebody before. Do you guys agree or disagree?
I see it as her relationship with Frank, from what we've seen, is kind of like how Jamie is with Claire, where Jamie doesn't know and understand their relationship, and when Claire was in the very beginning with Frank, she didn't really understand the relationship either. So when Frank wanted to get married with Claire, she's like, is this real? That kind of reaction from
interesting
it.
Parallel.
Yeah,
that is an interesting parallel.
I
don't know if I agree with it either.
But as time went on, they went through war, Claire changed, so did Frank, and now Claire's the woman she is. And
I think it's hard to compare their level of relationship between what Claire and Jamie have and what Claire and Frank have, because they have been through different things. So there is a passion and a love that Frank and Claire have that has potentially died out over the years because of what they've been through and how they've grown and changed, that potentially could have been brought back, but they didn't have the time to do it.
I don't think the love ever went away. I think the passion
the passion
went away.
And who's to say that their level of passion at the beginning that we haven't seen wasn't the same as what Jamie and Claire
have? That's a very good point. Very good point. Well, so we see them both hanging out there. They're having this deep
convo. Claire's like crack. He just wants more.
He does just want more. And somebody shoots an arrow.
Who is it? Who is it?
But Jamie covers Claire like an amazing person that he is and protects her.
He just throws her on the ground. I know, I want one. Sam Heughan, come find me. Somebody who we think might be a foe actually turns out to be a friend of Jamie's, and
is it Hugh Monroe?
It is.
Oh my gosh, it's Hugh Monroe. I like him.
he is very, very cool. And his part in the book is so charming. And so I'm so glad that this is how he was represented in the show. It was a much shorter part, but he's a great character, and I really want to see more of him. What did you guys think of him and the message that he had for Jamie and the way he communicated with Jamie?
I trust him, but I don't know about that mystery guy. Like, I thought it was cute that he brought a gift.
Horrocks.
Yeah, that he brought a gift for a wedding gift.
But it was Dragonfly and Amber?
Yeah, that's subtle, the second book. Well played.
But still, it was kind of coincidence that he had that for them.
Yeah, it wasn't. He didn't know they were married because he said we just got married 2 days ago. And it was like, oh, I have something then. It was something he had on him, but it was cool that that's what it was. Maybe there's a dinosaur in there.
I thought it was so interesting to kind of how quickly they Jamie gave Claire his backstory, and just I feel like the empathy that we see Claire have for him. And I love the it's not really a story, but it's how a lot of homeless people got food back in the day. They had like these little kind of badges that said that they were recognized by certain parishes and would be given rations and stuff from those, and he just is covered.
His 10 or 12 of them.
He's so cute. I really liked him, and I thought it was so cool how they did use a type of sign language.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there was an official I don't know if there was an official sign language back in that day and age, but they were definitely using some type of sign language, and he obviously could read lips.
And to me,
or adhere.
I think
he
that
could hear.
I'll start talking now. You can stop. The relationship that he and Jamie have, like, it shows to me that there is a good relationship there and there is a trust there, because he obviously takes the time to learn the language and try to communicate with him, and he understands him very quickly, like even faster than us trying to read his mouth, because he was saying and mouthing some of the stuff he was saying, but like you couldn't even read it fast enough for Jamie to already have figured it out what he was doing and explaining it to Claire. So I feel like there's a general friendship there that like is probably deeper than just acquaintances.
Well, and obviously these two men have spent some time together for them to kind of almost have their own type of language or communication.
And know his whole backstory so well.
And also for Jamie to have the respect for this man. A lot of people would turn around and who were, you know, might have been upperclassmen or whatever, which Jamie's kind of middle class, I would feel like. I mean, but he is a laird of his own time if he wasn't on the run. But for him to be so acquainted with this homeless guy who was a prisoner of war, and a lot of people would turn away from. Just it shows a lot about Jamie's character and the type of man he is. I mean, we already know he's a great man.
Oh, he's so good. So good.
So, and it gives Jamie hope, and it gives us hope that maybe when the show comes back, Jamie will be able to have his name cleared, and he won't have to run anymore. And we see that happiness and that hope in his eyes and his
Claire can
love
meet his family.
Yeah, Claire can meet his family. He can become the laird of Lallybrook, and she can become the lady of Lallybrook.
Well, see, I'm interested to find out, because I feel like there's going to have to be a whole episode on what happened with that trip, because I feel like they didn't finish the trip. Knowing that Claire was captured, I mean, not to get too far ahead, and everything that happens towards the end of the episode with Jamie, I feel like they didn't make it to see Horrocks. So with the travel, you know, being interrupted, they might have to go back and see him, or if they did make it, then there's going to be a whole episode about this exchange.
Yeah.
Because if it's clearing his name and it was legit, then we all want to know, and I'm sure he wants to tell Claire.
Patience, my son.
Thank you.
Patience. Keaton. Read the book.
In the next 26 weeks, 5 days and 47 hours.
So then we see Claire again with the men, and I love seeing Claire with the Scotsmen again, her being the only lady with them. I love their back and forth. I love just kind of the kinship they all have now, and how they look to her almost like a little sister. And we see Angus,
mm-hmm.
Rupert telling Angus. The story.
Rupert's on his
way. Rupert was telling the story of the water horse. And
Rupert's the fat one.
Oh.
Angus is the angry one.
And while he's telling the story, we hear the horses start being a little unsettled. Jamie and Claire canoodling, but Jamie and everybody hears these noises. Jamie very secretly slips a dagger to Claire and tells her on his count to run and hide in the trees. And then there's a big old Scottish men fight, and crazy craziness ensues. Only 3 bags of grain and a horse are stolen, and of course the Mackenzies come on top because
Ned pulls the gun.
Oh, Ned pulls the gun.
That's what scared him all away. He shot one of them.
Bring a gun to a knife fight.
Ned, I love seeing these guys' personalities. I love when we get a little bit more of these other characters because they're all such fun characters, and I really appreciate that the show lets us see these characters in the way that we do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And I love how it brought us back to reality that they could get raided. It's real life. It happens all the time
for people
that are camping because it's not like happy. They're kissing. They're
lovey-dovey. They're canoodling.
Yes, exactly.
But can I tell you, I seriously get chills when I see Claire and Jamie touching or anywhere around. Like
the good
chemistry
chills.
It just like comes off the screen. And you're just like, oh my gosh. So all the Scots, you know, they love a good fight, but then they realize, Claire, we got to teach you how to fight. There's that wonderful scene of them showing Claire how to use a knife and Angus kind of showing her on Willy, which is really, really funny because Claire then starts to scare him. And I think they all really respect her. I think they truly do, which I like that they've gotten past that, like, kind of thinking she was a spy thing.
Yeah, well, now she's Jamie's wife.
Yes.
She may still be a spy, but she's Jamie's wife.
She is an official Mackenzie.
Fraser.
Absolutely. So then, you know, of course, newlyweds, they need to get away. They
go off looking for some herbs.
They go off looking for herbs. Everybody knows where they're doing. And Jamie's out.
That's what we're calling it these days. We're looking for herbs.
Dougal's like, go. Wonder, I'm just going to follow you and watch because I'm creepy like
I wonder
that.
If he found the garden.
Okay, that's enough. So we see boobs, we see some love, and then we get major buzzkill.
Is that what you're using, buzzkill?
What term would you use for that?
Is that what we're calling what happened?
Let's go with it.
We'll just say, I literally have in my notes, more sex! Oh my god, buzzkill.
At least let the poor lad finish.
Dude, that was such a dark scene.
Oh my god, but I loved how they shot it. I loved that if something like that happens to you, you're basically about to get raped, your husband is about to get shot. I loved that they made it so like it was so hard to see. It was almost just like a dream. Like it's like she blacked out. And I feel like that's exactly how Claire would have remembered it. Like not like, oh, I it's just a blur to me.
Exactly.
It was, the whole scene was a blur.
In the moment, I was like, wait, is she really getting raped? Is she? Oh, no, she is. Oh, okay. He's in it. Yeah. It was awkward.
Yeah. And then Claire does what Claire does and is the badass that she is. And she stabs kills that guy. Jamie kills the other guy. We see some splurts of blood. But even as Jamie's running off with her, it is all still blurry. And
she's in shock.
She goes into shock. And poor Jamie just feels terrible. He's like,
it's another woman that he tries to protect and he fails. His sister was the other.
Oh, you got to bring up Jenny.
Yeah.
Jenny.
I'm sorry. I'm sad. Jamie's trying to do his best to protect his woman.
Yes. She is, but this also wakes Claire up. As like scary as this was and as blurry as this was, it wakes her up to remember like, you know, Jamie is, like, pouring out his heart to her, being like, I'm so sorry, I love you, I love you, I love you. And Claire kind of just snaps and is just like, oh, my God. I completely forgot that I'm trying to get back to Frank. I'm getting, like, caught up in this love with Jamie, which is great, but she's just like, I need to get back. I'm not going to stay here for the rest of my life.
Why not? Why wouldn't you stay there?
Because she has a life back home.
She's building a life here.
She is, but obviously she's still very connected. Well, not very connected because she almost forgot, but that's still pulling at her. That is absolutely
Yeah, she's still wearing both wedding rings.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have both wedding rings.
I'm wearing this ring that it's different Celtic knots. So this is what the ring kind of was supposed to look like in the in the book.
Ah.
But on the show it looks very different, but there's like the soul engraved and like Celtic.
You could turn it slowly and like go like this so they could see it. There you go.
Yeah. There you go. But this is from Ireland, not Scotland, unfortunately. So not the same.
Not at all. Shame, actually.
So Jamie then wants to go and meet this man to Horrocks to clear his name or see if he's able to clear his name. He can't bring Claire with him, or he doesn't want to bring Claire with him.
In case it's an ambush, yeah.
But he is bringing his men with him. And he's like, I want you to be protected. I want you to stay here and hide.
So we leave him with Willie.
Exactly.
Well done, Jamie.
But at this time, they all trust Claire.
It's not the matter of trusting Claire. It's a matter of who can protect Claire. I don't think Willie would have protected Claire. I think Claire would have had to protect herself, and Willie would have Willied off.
Would have been crying in the corner somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Although you have to figure that Willie did do something. He told them what happened. Well, yeah, he took a poop. When he was done, he told them what happened, because how else would they have realized that she'd been captured?
Yeah. That's a good point.
He would have been the one to go, and he might have even followed her enough to see who was taking her to know where they were going.
Yeah.
Fair.
He still sucks. but.
Yes. So Claire then, as she's there, Willie wanders off. She realizes, oh my gosh, she's actually walking distance from Craignadoon. And this brings us back to the parallel story with Frank at Craignadoon. Claire's running to Craignadoon. She hears his voice. This is when I thought the episode, this was the climax. I thought it was about to end. She runs up to the stones, and Frank's at the stones, and I think she's just about to touch them, and it kind of whites out, and then all of a sudden, we see the redcoats pulling Claire away. And I loved that shot, that it was a panning shot, and Claire's getting pulled away by
she's
the redcoats, and it's one
hill.
Shot, and then it goes to Frank walking down the hill to his car in present day.
It like goes right through one of the rocks.
Oh, it was so cool.
And if you notice, too, they changed the coloring, too. The desaturation of the image as they went through the rock got that faded color again on...
I mean, the way the show is directed, edited, filmed, written, I mean, everything is just so high quality, and I appreciate it so, so much. So thank you to the crew, seriously, for putting the show together for all the fans, not just to the actors who obviously act amazingly in it. But Claire gets pulled away. She knows she's going to Blackjack Randall again.
And she has time to think while she's in the back
of
that wagon.
She does have time to think, where he doesn't.
Yes.
To Fort William. Which is stunningly gorgeous.
Yeah, the shot when they were coming over the hill and you could see it right on the water and like.
I wish I had more time to research exactly where they filmed that, because I want to go visit there. That place looks stunning. I did not picture Fort William like right on the water like that. But it was so pretty, and I want to go visit.
That's pretty typical, though. That's how a lot of places are protected, because if there's water on those sides and high walls, people can't get in. You can only attack the front, and they can just watch the front.
Yes, but that's not how it's described in the book. So,
well, you know what? We're not to book comparisons yet, so we got to hurry up, because we're running out of time.
We are, but we're going to go a little bit over in the booth, just so you know, because this was the mid-season finale, so just forgive us. We'll go as quickly as possible. Have to get there. We talk about everything. We're almost done.
We almost hit the climax at the wall, but we're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
Too soon.
Oh, not too soon yet.
Too soon.
Oh, God.
Keep going.
We're going. I know. I'm speeding through now.
Don't stop.
So then we cut to Claire being interrogated again by creepy Blackjack Randall. And it was so weird to me to see so much of Frank this episode and then have so much of Blackjack Randall at the end. It creeps me out. And it makes me wonder, and it makes me not know if I really like that it's the same actor that plays them both, just because I can't love Frank that much, if that much Blackjack Randall.
I love it.
I do, too. Okay, and I liked the interaction at the beginning, because it showed that Claire had used her time wisely leading up to the meeting, because she seemed very confident going into everything that happened, like knew what was going on, had control of the situation, you know, was like, oh, you're not going to play me this time. Like, I got you. Babe.
And she does, and she the thing that she brings up is the Duke of, I need to say it, Sandringham. Boom. Sandringham. Duke of Sandringham. And she's so ballsy.
Yeah.
She is so ballsy the way she drops that ball, basically. Drops the mic, basically. And obviously Blackjack is very shaken. He believes her. I think this is the most I think Blackjack ever has kind of been, I guess, dethroned a little bit by Claire. I think every other time we've seen their interactions, he is always, even when he was telling her that story, I still think he held the power and the authority, because she was just crying. And, you know, this is the first time Claire flipped it on him. And then she had to get, like, a little cocky with it, Miss Claire. And I love Claire. And I loved her going up to him and tying his necktie. And it was
like, obviously, you idiot. Yeah. Like, you're going to ruin everything.
It was almost like a James Bond movie. I don't know. I just really, really liked it. Like, she was being so sneaky and so ballsy. And then she just kept freaking talking.
Yeah.
I was like, Claire, again. Just stop talking.
I thought she would have handled that a little bit better versus saying, you know how she kept brushing him off? Like, oh, well, the Dutch would not appreciate it if you did that. And when he brought up the Duchess, be like, we can't talk about that right now.
Yeah, like, just let it go.
Yeah, I'm leaving. Let it go. Bye.
I'm out. Sorry.
But you're right. She kept talking.
Yeah.
And that's when he brought the rope out.
And she's like, kinky. Who keeps a rope in their desk besides Mr. Gray? Like,
yeah. Don't you threaten me with a good time.
Like, oh my gosh, that was really, really creepy. And we immediately see, I mean, Claire is like, she knows. She's like, there's no way out of this. The Highlanders don't know where she is.
I was freaking
Jamie
out
doesn't
for
know
her.
Where she is.
I was panicking.
Skirts yeah. flipped up, hands are tied.
We see butt.
We did see yeah. butt.
We saw boobs. I mean, and I was like, I was waiting for him to kind of like draw, like etch something in her skin with the knife, like just
brand
barely.
Her.
Not brand her, but
just cut her just
a little bit. Cut her just a little bit, because Blackjack is creepy like that.
A little narcissism in there.
No, he's gross. He's disgusting. I was expecting something
like that. But
Frank
is so dreamy.
Frank, and I can't see Frank as dreamy because I hate Blackjack Randall so much, and he's so disgusting. We even see kind of his corporal, like
apologize.
And he wants to help. Like, he knows, he's like, God, this woman doesn't deserve this. Nobody deserves what Blackjack Randall does to people. And I mean, Claire is helpless, and we see the panic. I think that's the first time too, in a while, that we see full-on panicked Claire.
Mm-hmm.
Because last time she was with Blackjack, she even got punched. She didn't have enough time to panic. But this time, she's like, Blackjack is taking his time. He's letting her think about exactly what he's going to do to her. And she screams. I think Blackjack gets off on that. I think he gets off on the fact that...
It's power.
It is the power. And, like, her being so frightened and so submissive and, like, screaming for help. I think, yeah, he's
Which is sort
disgusting.
Of interesting because if you think back to the scene with Frank choking the woman, there was that sort of power struggle in his eyes as well. So, it's
yeah.
kind of like it's in him, ingrained.
So, then... Dun-da-da-da!
Dun-da-da-da! Here he comes to save the day!
Batman!
No, Jamie.
No, my
Jamie. Jamie busted in. We see Jamie in all of his glory, and what a cool shot, again, of him with the gun saying, I beg you to take your hands off my wife. Cut to black.
I literally wrote, Jamie comes in like effing Batman to the rescue.
Yeah, because he was like perched on that windowsill, and I think they were on the second story. And actually, as I was watching the episode, my whole thought is like, why don't you jump out the window? There has to be a window somewhere. And then there was like no windows that you could see. And they were closed, obviously. But, like, that's... I would have escaped by jumping out the window, because there's probably water down there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But effing Batman comes in,
well,
kicks the door open.
It cuts to black. That's window. The end until...
April 4th,
which I'll give you our countdown. And we'll be back, you guys, in 26 weeks, 5 days, 1 hour, 55 minutes, and 18 seconds. But... Really?
You just killed an hour waiting, though. So
yeah, you did.
Good for you.
You did. And you could watch these shows over and over again to kill even more hours. But let's do really, really, really quick book comparisons and predictions. Can we do that or no?
You go.
I don't have a book comparison. You go.
Okay, book comparisons.
Wow.
Upbeat. You know what? Just let it play. Let it play. We got music. They're yelling at us.
They're yelling. They're like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up.
We're on a time crunch here.
Yeah. Book comparisons. This really deviated far from the book. People who have read the book, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We never see Frank's point of view in the book around this time. So, yeah, it was very different, but I appreciated it. And I like the backstory that it gave us. And, yeah, the way she gets to Blackjack is not the same. She actually runs away. She ran away as well here, but she, like... is trying to go, and Craig Nadun is a lot further away than it seemed in this part. So, I very different from the book, but a lot of the key moments and key feelings. That scene with Blackjack and that image of Jamie is exactly how I saw it happen in the book. That image of Jamie in the end. So that was a very powerful image, and that line that he says about getting his hands off his wife is straight from the book as well.
And I love the recognition in Blackjack's face when he like puts it together, like, that's your wife, and I'm chasing you, and it's like I beat. It's like all this whole moment,
and it's like so funny. He kind of like chuckles to himself, mm-hmm. but yes, we saw a little. We saw one quick shot of what's to come on April 4th. Predictions, Roya.
I think Blackjack Randall's gonna get shot, but he's not gonna die.
Yeah, okay. He can't die because he has to. You know,
don't
have
ruin
children,
my
whatever.
Prediction.
No, it's fine. I think they're gonna escape. And I think that it's all going to go downhill fast.
I think, yes.
I think Jamie's going to be very hurt as to why Claire even got into the hands of Blackjack Randall and the fact that he has to go back into Fort William, which is the place where he was flogged and has all these dark memories about. I think it's going to put a rift in their relationship a little bit. And I think Claire is going to have to tell him more of her truth to kind of gain his trust back.
Ooh.
So that's what I think is going to happen. You guys, I'm going to miss you all so much.
We miss you already.
So sorry we had to rush through a little bit of this.
Right, I'm not going to miss you as much.
To get the show done. But where can we find you and where can we follow you guys until April 4th? Roya?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Hey Roya. That's HeyRoya. And I'm also on the Saturday Night Live After Show with Keen.
Special guest Ariana Grande. In your face. Hey, you can find me at RyanHooks92 on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. Pictures up soon of our kilts and our lovely tartan attire and our uniformed guards over here as well. Nerds. Thank you guys for tuning in. Keaton, you're up. Get us out of here.
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Keaton Markey. That's KeetinMarchi. You guys, also, if you watch the show Nashville, I do the after show for that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
SNL, I do the after show for that.
I do Gotham.
And I do the Rain after show. So if you miss my face and you miss my voice, either rewatch these episodes or go watch.